wide line. The second word in the we're doing in Yaakov, we're on page Lamed in the standard editions, Daf Samach Gimel in the Gemara. We're in the second wide line, the second word. The Talmud had quoted from Malachi, one of the 12 shorter prophets. The Talmud had quoted the verse, Aznid Biru Yirei Hashem Ishel Reyeyu. Then the people who have awe of Hashem spoke one to his friend. The continuation of the verse is, Vayikshev Hashem Vayishma. God paid attention, he listened. Vayikhtov, Hashem wrote it, Sefer Zikaron, he wrote it in his book to commemorate. Liyirei Hashem ulechoshvei Shemo. To those who have fear of Hashem, those who lechoshvei Shemo could be understood as those who think of his name, those who honor his name, from the term chashivut. And now the Gemara asks, Mayu lechoshvei Shemo, what does the verse indicate when it says those who think of Hashem's name or honor Hashem's name? What does that mean? The word choshev, is it from the root chashuv? Is it from the root machshava, chashav, to think? Amar Ravami, Ravami said, Ravami was one of the rabbis who brought us quotes from Israel. He would travel from Israel to Babylon after learning by Rabbi Yochanan in Israel. Ravami taught, Afilu chishev la'asot mitzvah, even if a person thought to do a mitzvah, v'ne'enas, and then he was overtaken with things that were beyond his control, v'lo asah, and he did not perform the mitzvah, ma'ale alav ha'katuv, then the verse will consider it as though, ke'ilu asah, as though he performed the mitzvah. Now, this concept is not intuitive. Ordinarily we'd say, you meant to do it, but you didn't do it. So what do you want? Tough luck, you know, you try. We also saw that Rav Elchanan Wasserman questions that we find in Talmud that if you meant to give charity, but you gave it to someone who was not legitimately poor, then you didn't do charity. So you could say, that makes sense, you didn't help any poor. You meant to help the poor, but you didn't. Yet here the Talmud seems to say, if you intended to do a mitzvah and you did not succeed, God considers it as though you did it. So how does that work? How come over there it seems to say, just because you meant to do it, you meant to give charity, but it turns out that you gave it to someone who tricked you, he's not poor, he was dishonest with you. So then Talmud says, you didn't give charity. So which way is it? So Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in his letter that we learned here, Rav Elchanan Wasserman explained there are two components to a mitzvah. There's the component that I'm doing what God commanded me. And on that level, if I meant to do what God commanded me, if in the end it didn't work out the way I intended, well, I did what God told me. I tried. So on that level, God considers it as though you did it. Because Hashem told you, give charity. You went to give charity. You tried to find an honestly poor person. It didn't work out, but you did. You did what God told you. You did the best you could. But then there's a different component to a mitzvah. What do you accomplish? A mitzvah is supposed to accomplish. It's not just about doing what Hashem said. There are poor people who are hungry. You did not feed the poor who are hungry. You had good intentions. That's wonderful. But you can't ignore the fact that there are just as many hungry people on planet Earth as before you gave that charity. So a mitzvah has two components. A mitzvah has the component that the mitzvah is supposed to help the world. There's an aspect where the mitzvah has to accomplish. Then there's the aspect where the mitzvah is the performance of the will of Hashem. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, when our Gemara says, it's as though you did it, it means on the level, you did what Hashem asked you, you tried. It didn't work out, that's not your fault. But on the level of did you actually accomplish, on that level, you didn't. So that's how Rav Elchanan Wasserman explains it. This needs a lot of work, because a contemporary of Rav Yosef Karo, the acronym of his name is the Mabit, he wrote the book Beit Elohim, and in the beginning of the book Beit Elohim, he writes, we are not gauged based on an empirical value. Every person is gauged based upon their own potential. If you have a potential of 10, and the next guy has a potential of 100, the next guy accomplished 50 and you accomplished 8. So you accomplished much less than them. You only accomplished 8. They accomplished 6 times as much as you. More than 6 times as much as you, right? But they didn't accomplish that percentage of their potential. in the world to come, you're going to be on a higher rank because you accomplished more of your potential. We are not gauged on this ladder. Okay, where do you fit on the ladder? We're gauged based on our own potential. That doesn't seem to work with what Rav Hanan Wasserman said. Because Rav Hanan Wasserman said, bottom line, there's a question, what did you accomplish? Now, it seems very logical to say what the Mabit says. On the one hand, you'd argue God created us with limitations. It's not my fault. I did the best I could. How could I be penalized for not doing more? I did the best I could. On the other hand, how could you diminish the accomplishments of one who did more? So there are two aspects to the question. I'm saying the Mabit seems to strengthen one side. Rav Hanan Wasserman seems to strengthen the other side. I'm leaving it hanging. I don't have a resolution. I'm saying we could say it's an argument. We could say other things. We could employ the thought of the Chasam Sofer, that the whole concept of being rewarded for our good deeds is beyond the call of duty. No one owes us anything. But at the end of the day, I don't have a clear answer. I'm not sure where you draw the line on that. Okay, so we're continuing. But this is an important concept. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but the commentaries seem to say that this is a concept for Jews. It's not clear at all that this concept applies to non-Jews. Elsewhere, the Talmud discusses that what happens if you intend to do a transgression and then you don't succeed. He had every intention to kill, but he missed. He shot the bullet. He missed. He shot the bullet, but it went through the guy's earlobe and the guy is almost unscathed. Our sages tell us that if a person intended to do harm but did not, Hashem is not mitzaref machshava lemaaseh. Hashem doesn't say, okay, it's as though you killed. It's a transgression on some level, but it's not on the level of having performed it. And again, the question is, does that apply only to the Jewish people or also to non-Jews? Because we find places where Hashem blames Pharaoh and Avimelech and Lavan. It says that we say, Arami oved avi. The Aramean destroyed my forefather. But he didn't. He intended to. So one explanation is that, right, it's considered as though he did. It's kindness that Hashem says, you intended to do something, I'm not going to count it as though you did it. Technically, attempted murder could be counted as murder. So again, those two are discussed. Back to the Ein Yaakov. Amar Rav Chinina Baridi. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah kemamara, whoever does a mitzvah the way it was said, ein mevasrin oto besorot ra'ot. So they don't give him bad tidings. Shenemar, as the verse says, shomer mitzvah, he who watches over a mitzvah, lo yeda davar ra, he won't know anything bad. What does that mean? We know good people have times where bad things happen to them. It says it in the Talmud. If you didn't notice yourself, the Talmud says it. It says Moshe Rabbeinu said it. So what does that mean? Really, we have to be able to live with questions. I just don't want to swallow this fly. That's why I'm shooing him away. The truth is that the first few times I learned this line in Talmud, I looked at it and said, I have no idea what it means. And I went on. And in life, sometimes you have to say, I don't know what it means. And move on and say, I'm going to have to revisit this. It certainly doesn't seem to work the way we read it. But if we analyze it more deeply, so then what does it mean, ha'oseh mitzvah, he who does a mitzvah? What does it mean, kima'amara, the way it was said? So there is a concept that says we spend our whole life trying to do a mitzvah right. There's a Kabbalistic, Hasidic concept that says you do all the mitzvos, but do you do any of them right? I don't mean you do them wrong. You put on tefillin, it's kosher. You say Kriya Shema in the morning, it's kosher. But do we ever do a mitzvah with 100% correct intent? Any mitzvah? It sounds easy, but it really isn't. Really, it's very hard to get even one mitzvah right.
a week or two ago, we were at the Shabbos table, and I don't remember how it came up, but I said to the kids, why don't you try to eat one spoon of chulent in honor of Shabbos? And no one could do it without bursting out laughing. Not one kid, you know. They started challenging one another. Okay, this one's for Shabbos, right? And none of them could finish without laughing. And I admired that. I said, wow, at least they're honest. Right? So then they said to me, they said, Abba, we could probably do a piece of chocolate in honor of Shabbos better than a piece of chulent, right? Try us. Let us try. But the truth is that we're all that way. We might not be so honest, but it's hard to do something. I'm doing it the way I should because God said so.
Partially. So that might be part of the answer. We also have to understand, what does it mean he won't get bad tidings? It doesn't say bad things won't happen to him. It says he won't get bad tidings. Why is that important? Who cares if you get bad tidings? You care if bad things happen. You don't care so much about whether people tell you an hour beforehand or an hour afterwards. So this line in Talmud needs a lot of work. There are many interpretations to it. I don't know if we should go into it. Maybe we'll just discuss one. One of the commentaries, you see on the left side, Chidushei HaGeonim, so he goes into a famous line in Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Laws of Kings, he writes, when a non-Jew accepts upon himself the 7 Noahide laws, and he's careful to perform them, so then we consider him one of the pious people among the nations. And he has a portion in the world to come. And that is on condition that he accepts them and does them because God commanded them in the Torah and told it through Moshe Rabbeinu that the sons of Noah are commanded to do so. So the Rambam says in order for a person to be considered pious, he has to do it with that intent. The Rambam continues and says if he did it because logic dictated to do that, that's not a ger toshav. It's not one of the pious ones of the nations. It is one of the wise men of the nations. The Rambam also seems to preclude that that person will get a portion in the world to come. So if Aristotle kept the 7 Noahide laws, but Aristotle didn't believe there was such a thing as prophecy or didn't believe that God communicated to the world, so then Aristotle would be considered one of the wise men of the nations, but according to the Rambam, he would not get a portion in the world to come. So that, according to this opinion, that's part of the idea behind this. That when it says that he who does a mitzvah the way it was said, means he connects to the idea that God told me to do it, and this is what he told me to do. Which, again, goes back to the first concept we were talking about. I'm sorry, yeah?
One is considered a righteous Gentile, in those terms, that's referring to after Sinai, because it was different before Sinai, because you couldn't know.
Very nice, got it. Yeah? Yes? He said written in the Torah, commanded us in the Torah. You're saying the Rambam's wording commanded us in the Torah and let us know through Moshe.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's go one by one. Okay, what's the first Noahide law? What? Give me one. We'll go one by one. One.
No murder. No adultery.
No murder. Where does it say no murder?
Can't eat a living animal.
Pause. 1 second. Where does it say no murder? With Cain and Abel, Hashem says, your brother's blood is calling out to me. Okay. So you want to say that says not to murder. Let's, one step at a time. You're right. Tosfos asked that. Let's one step at a time. But the truth is, the verse says, "Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech kivitzen melakim asat ha'adam." So you have an open verse about murder. Next, what was the next? What's another Noahide law? Monotheism. Monotheism with Hashem being God, right? I guess that's in the 6 days of creation in Shabbos. It would seem that way.
How can you say that it's for the non and then it's for the Jew, for the Gentile?
That's another question. Let's first see if we have the seven. Okay, what else? What other Nochaid laws? They're not the steal. Where does it say not to steal? Where does it say not to steal?
Is that a reference in terms of Noah?
Saying, Torah says it to Jews. Where does it say to non-Jews?
Right.
So the truth is that the Talmud works out which verses indicate which of the seven Noahide laws. The Talmud does work it out. What's difficult is that the layman wouldn't see it in the verse. It says, V'davak be'ishto, connect with your wife. So Chazal understood from that, you're not allowed to be with someone else's wife. Devak b'ishto, v'lo b'eshet chavero. Is a Noahide expected to figure that one out? I guess that one's close to obvious. What about blasphemy, right? So again, if you're curious, we could look it up in the Gemara, how the Gemara derives each one. But maybe that's why the Rambam writes, commanded in the Torah and let us know through Moshe. Why did he add those words, let us know through Moshe? Because from the Torah itself, you might not see it. Maybe that's why the Rambam added those words. And again, if you're curious, remind me. We'll open up the Gemara. We'll see how the Gemara derives it. I don't remember each one. What were you saying? You were saying that working with that, there are more. There's procreate, pru, or vu, right? Rule over the land. A good question, right? And if we were to take the time right now, we got to go to Arvi. But if you choose, remind me, then we'll plan a class. We'll go through the sources on Thursday night, and we could discuss that. That's a good question, right? But you got to let me know if you want us to focus on that Thursday night.